A few years ago, we used the poetry of R.S. Thomas to guide our Good Friday meditations. As I struggled with this last set of texts, I was compelled to think about what the difference would be between hearing the story and not knowing what the end really would be. In our Bible study group on Wednesday, we got to a point in our Lenten journey where we started to describe the absence of God as being as important as the presence of God, something in theology we call apophatic thinking. God as a negative rather than God as a positive. Hear this from poet R.S. Thomas. "Why, no, I never thought other than that God is that great absence in our lives, the empty silence within, the place where we go seeking, not in hope to arrive or find. His are the echoes we follow, the footprints he has just left. We put our hands in his side, hoping to find it warm." R.S. Thomas is said to have come upon this great image of hoping to find the warm place where God was while giving a radio interview. "Being something of a naturalist myself, I know how to find a hare's form on the hillside, and I'd been able to put my hand in it and feel it still warm. And this is my feeling of God, that we don't actually find him where he's been. We find the place still warm with his presence, but he is absent, and we find his footprints, but we never actually come upon him, because how can we? If we could comprehend God, we would be God ourselves." The honesty and audacity in Thomas' poetry reminds me of the work of my favorite theologian, a nod to Emily, Rowan Williams. In a sermon titled "The Dark Night," Williams describes how it's easy to go round and round the paths for a long time. The paths he describes are the circular journeys of piety, radicalism, or conservatism in the church, the ways in which by affiliating God to our particular perspective, we fall into a delusional and religious game designed to comfort and justify the style of religious life we have found congenial. "These are," Williams writes, "divine projections and wish fulfillments, the source for all of the unkind things psychologists have always tended to accuse religion of. God is a word or a concept with a well-defined function in the way we order our life. And when we have explained that function, we have explained God. The death of Jesus won't allow us to define God with any neatness at all. The only defense religion has or ever will have against the charge of cozy fantasy is the kind of experience or reflection normally referred to by the Christian tradition as the night of the spirit, or the dark night," Williams writes. "The night of the spirits, the night of the spirit is a religious experience that, if we have the honesty to look at it, is emptiness. It makes nonsense of all religion, conservative or radical, and all piety. The night of the spirit, or the dark night, is God's attack on religion. And if you genuinely desire union with the unspeakable God, then you must be prepared to have your religious world shattered. If you think devotional practices, theological insights, even charitable actions give you some sort of purchase on God, you are still playing games," says the great theologian. A theology or piety that does not carry with it the emptiness of the dark night and what Thomas would call God's absence, God's silence, is an imaginary one. The thoughts of these two keen thinkers point to the enduring question of Good Friday. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" through the lens of a theological vision marked by absence rather than presence, by darkness rather than by light. Jesus' admonition that whoever he be of you who forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple may mean that to begin to know God, we must forsake everything, including what we think to know or find comforting about God. In Gethsemane, writes Williams, intimacy with God means refusing all consoling substitutes for God and bearing the consequences. In Gethsemane, Jesus says to his Father, in effect, I accept from your hand whatever happens. Nothing can break our communion, however little I see or feel it. I am ready to give myself to you, whatever the cost. And what happens is Calvary, Calvary where God virtually disappears. Williams concludes his sermon, The Dark Night, by writing that it is because God is as he is that all of this is not just nihilistic and terrifying. That God in Christ shows himself as the God whose compassion is without bounds, utterly identified with our pain, and working to bring us out of death and bondage to life. That it is only when false images of God, the world, and ourselves have been broken that we can truly free to give ourselves, that we can be truly free to give ourselves to God and to our brothers and sisters. So a prayer that is content to stay in and endure the darkness of today and tomorrow before we proclaim the resurrection on Easter Sunday, to come back daily to look into the unimaginable and the blank mystery of God, can and should be a true wellspring of love and service, because it is a constant questioning and weakening of the selfish ego. What Williams articulates in his sermon is for us the same place that the poetry that R.S. Thomas uses, the same place that the poetry of R.S. Thomas urges us to go as well, not to where we believe God to be, but rather into the depths of God's mystery. In a poem called The Coming, a poem that I think of every time I enter into Norse Hall and see that stained glass window, God holds in his hand a small globe. Look, God says to the sun. Far off as through water, the sun sees a scorched land of fierce color. The light burned there. Crusted buildings cast their shadows. A bright serpent, a river uncoiled itself, radiant with slime. The sun sees on a bare hill, a bare tree saddening the sky. Many people held out their thin arms to it as though waiting for a vanished April to return to its crossed boughs. The sun watched them. Let me go there, he said. In Thomas' poem, The Coming, Jesus is compelled to enter the globe not because it's safe or pretty, but only because he knows that all of the world is of God. The scorched land of fierce color, the light, the serpent, the river, and the slime, the bare tree on a bare hill with crossed boughs to which people reach their arms hoping for spring. This is no sending, it's a showing, and without knowing, the sun begs, let me go there. R.S. Thomas said that he was content to call himself a Christian because the Christian belief that God has taken suffering into himself is the most profound and satisfying answer to the great problem of suffering in the world. I can think of no better answer to the question of Good Friday, of forsakenness and abandonment of Christ on the cross, than Thomas' image of reaching into a form on a hillside left by a missing hair and finding the warmth of what is no longer there, that in the wake of God's absence, Jesus discovers the place where God has already been. With Christ, let us go there, to the cross, where we will find the warmth and the love of a God already gone. Amen.